Good evening, everybody. It's 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock, Toronto time. It is the end of the week, the Fakeologist Week. It's Friday, May 11th, 2023, 5:11, the 11th day of the month. There's always something going on their favorite double-digit days, multiples of 11. We do this show Sunday through Thursday around 8 p.m. Toronto time. Thanks for joining. We are streaming live on Twitter, DLive. We are on Odyssey. I keep forgetting about Odyssey. I don't think about Odyssey because it doesn't save the video. And, of course, we're also on FakeoTube, FakeoTube.com, which is user-supported. And it is also exclusively sponsored by Epic Cash. Epic Cash is the new, better Bitcoin. And boy, Bitcoin is in the media these days. Always in the media to some extent, but they are wheezing under pressure to try and do transactions. And I think there's big problems trying to do that kind of thing. And of course, Epic Cash does address all that. They projected that would be a problem. Anyway, today is Thursday and we talk with An Ounce of Salt Per Day of how to take care of your penis.com. And welcome back, Frank, recurring guest Frank. Hello.
Thank you, Mr. Fakeologist. Ni hao to everybody.
Ni hao, you're coming from the shores of Corporation of Geelong, Corporation of Victoria, Corporation of Australia.
Correct.
And the excess...
I'll have to turn my phone location off so that you can't find that out in the future.
Yeah. The excess mortality stories just keep piling up. But does anybody care is the question.
It's fascinating, isn't it? The indifference.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week. I think it's that the people that have been injected simply don't want to know, and I don't blame them.
I don't either. And there is the possibility in their minds that it's all in their minds. But I just see too much evidence of, and maybe we're looking harder because all we are doing is talking about people getting ill and sick, and that's what this whole thing's been about. But unfortunately, yeah, there are people that are getting fast-acting cancer. There's one that lives around here. And I can't deny that that's what's happening. Can you make a temporal connection to the clot shot? Well, in this case, I think you can because they documented it on social media. And there are all kinds daily social media, Twitter in particular, stories about people that a lot of children dying very young after the clot shot. And I don't know if they're real or not. It's hard to tell. I know I am biased because I only follow people that talk about that. There is one guy on Twitter, Larry Cook. He sells some kind of detox substance, but he is of the website called StopMandatoryVaccination.com. He's been doing it a long time. But this guy is so direct in his tweets. I can't believe he's still on Twitter.
It's a bit surprising. That's a bit of a giveaway, I think.
Yeah, he doesn't mince even half a word. He is so direct. And he's selling this stuff, this heavy metal detox offer. Personally, I don't know if these things do any good. I guess you got to do something if you want to get the poison out. But what do you think?
Well, I think, food is medicine. Etc. And fasting and all the things that I've been doing, I guess, a long time, really. I did recently come across the gut and psychology diet idea, and I've demonstrated it to Rick, and I actually got interviewed by the daughter of someone who is a Fakeologist fan.
Oh, wow. In the last
yesterday.
Week? Yesterday. Oh, yesterday.
Yesterday, in fact, about salt.
Okay, where do we find that?
Well, when it gets published, I've got her agreement that it gets published on the FACO site if you choose to put it there.
Oh,
on
yes,
my site.
Of course.
She's presumably going to edit that and do that. But she is just a young woman. She said she was 19 and she looked 19.
Okay, she's a fan of Fakeologists and she's 19?
Her father...
is a fan.
Her father is a fan. And yeah. when he, his daughter who's, in, who's this woman, her name is Emily, she suffers, it's from Cottage Remedies is her website, her YouTube site.
Okay, let's
and
find
she,
it.
And
mm-hmm. she... Go ahead.
Oh. And she got in touch with me basically via the...
Cottage Remedies.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And apparently her father is a Fakeologist, and he had bought some of my salt, apparently. And so she was able to get, you know, call me and talk to me and arrange an interview, which happened yesterday.
Had she been aware of the salt, the remedies of salt?
Yes, she's a, because she's involved in the kind of keto and this method of what's called gut and psychology diet, she's been familiar with salt. And her objective on getting me on the interview was to talk to people about salt, because some of the people that listen to her podcast believe you can get all the salt you need from food.
Okay, well, that's really great. I'm going to definitely put a link to this, Cottage Remedies. And she's got a funny mouse thing on her website that's kind of annoying, but I can get over that. So I'll put a link to that. So you will be on her YouTube channel, I'm guessing?
I assume so, yes.
You may be the first guest. I don't see any other guests here.
Maybe, yeah. And it's... You know, she just seems like a very sharp-witted young woman to me. So, you know, to have that kind of...
Cottage Remedies. Today, I'm going to be talking about subliminals, what they are, and how they can be of use to you. So, a few years ago now, this channel was actually a subliminal channel. When I was about 16, I was making subliminals and... posting them online, and they were quite successful, hence why I have quite a number of inactive subscribers now that it's a few years later. But I am going to be getting back into making subliminals and sharing them with you, and you can pick and choose which ones you feel are most suited.
All right, subliminals. I don't even know what that is.
Well, I call it neuro-linguistic programming. When I... you know, in my days as a sort of senior level executive with large corporations, we were taught about the effect of using what's called positive talking to achieve results.
Okay.
And another word for it is called self-talk. And you talk to yourself or talk to people in as if they are already achieving the results you want to achieve. So, for example, if I want to be good at badminton, for example, I will say...
I am good at badminton. Like, I am good at badminton.
Yeah, yeah. I perform at a high level. I have high expectations of my performance. And, you know, you talk to yourself as if you're already exhibiting the behaviors that you want to achieve. And the idea is that you, by making written affirmations and by writing things down, you will reprogram your subconscious. And the concept is that your subconscious mind will often sabotage your conscious efforts. And in my view, the theory is sound. But I think there are shortcomings in the process, which, and those shortcomings I think are overcome by the use of prayer.
Okay.
And so I approach, I do use, still continue to use this positive self-talk, which I think the real, the technical name is Neuro-Linguistic Program, NLP. Yeah, and I think it's a, and it's a very, it's very effective for many people as a, you know, a very crude, blunt psychological tool when you're in trouble and need something to just, you know, keep a lid on your own anxieties.
That sounds good.
Yeah, no, it's a very powerful technique.
Did you get any fakeologist talk on the show with Emily?
Yeah, we essentially Emily. Essentially, Emily is of the view that everything's inverted.
Wow! Did she get this from her father? Do you think?
Or came? Well, he. I guess so. She doesn't say. I don't think any young person gets all this stuff from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
She's obviously formed her own conclusions, but it's terrific that her father and she share that common idea. I think it's it must be very satisfying for her father to not be at loggerheads with the, his children over the you know, the basic concepts.
Fantastic. Well, today,
yeah, no, so,
yeah, that's very good.
Oh, sorry, one other, I do a shout out as I made the amazing discovery that on your Telegram setup, you have a live stream chat. So if anyone wants to post comments into the live stream chat on Telegram.
Yes, that's. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll talk about that. Let me see if I can share my, I know I can.
So I've got my phone open and I can easily look at the live stream chat on Telegram. And talk to you on the on a separate computer, so I'm not, you know, interfering with the processes.
Yeah.
Of this.
No, that's true. I was thinking. Yeah, what I've done is I made some changes. So if you go to fake11.com/telegram2 or fake11.com/telegram, you'll get into our Telegram channels. And I'm using Telegram quite a bit, mainly because it's got a really neat feature called TipBot. And that connects your Epic Cash to my Epic Cash tipping wallet. So if you want to send even a fraction of an Epic coin without any charge, you can do that. I really recommend people do that. If you want to sponsor the show or help out the show, I think Epic Cash is a valuable way of micropayments. And micropayments are really what a lot of people think the show is worth. And I'm fine with that. I agree that if you could give 5 cents to the show, if 1,000 people listen to that, that would be more than almost one person giving one amount. So yeah, 5 cents, 50 cents. That seems like a reasonable ask if you enjoy the show. So the most frictionless way to do it is using Epic Cash. Now I know it's a bit of a stumble to get into Epic Cash, but once you do get into it, I think you'll enjoy it. So I'm showing the Epic Cash screen right now, I'm showing the Telegram screen right now. And again, fake11.com/telegram2. That will auto-join you to 3 channels. We have the main Fakeologist channel, which is just my blog postings without comments. I had to unhook the comments for various reasons because there's also a discussion channel that used to be hooked up to the main channel, but no one is really using the hookup. But within that Fakeologist discussion, I have divided into topics, sort of like Discord. And that's why I had to detach it from the main channel, because that's the only way Telegram would let me do that. But we have Napoleon's Corner. Napoleon, of course, is the most prolific poster on Telegram. He's kind of overwhelming. So I put him in his own subcategory where he can go on and on. And we have a general category where anyone can post. It has my tweets that cross post to it as well. And so I'm just trying to make it less crowded by dividing it up. And we have the live stream chat here where if you're listening live right now on FakoTube or on the stream at fake11.com/stream1, I'll put that in here. Then you can chat over here. Okay? So we do broadcast on a live stream right now as well. So that's the Telegram. So right now there are three groups under the Fakeologist discussion, but I'll make more as people would like them. Okay, so that's Telegram. So I'm glad Frank's on Telegram.
And well, that's I think that's a great idea. Now, one thing I would like to do is take you back to your startup, because I hadn't heard that Bitcoin was struggling with transactions. Tell me more. Tell me everything.
Uncle Epic and I alluded to it on Tuesday. We do a regular show Tuesday. It just seems like this, and I'm not perfectly familiar with how the blockchain works, but the blockchain is basically all the transactions in one file. And I guess the file just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's the copy of all the transactions. And apparently you can piggyback other things onto the blockchain, like ordinals, which I think can be pictures. It doesn't make any sense to me, but basically you can bloat the blockchain so it's unusable, which seems to me like a bug, not a feature.
100%.
So apparently the transaction costs to transact on Bitcoin blockchain go up and up and up as network congestion goes up and up and up, presumably to slow the rate of transactions, which is sort of antithetical to the way you think a currency should be. It should be next to free or super frictionless to make a transaction. And I believe
you mean cash.
So the point is, it's not, Bitcoin is not looking like a usable currency. It's looking more like something like gold that you can just buy and hold and not really take to a store to make a transaction. And Epic Cash has tried to address has addressed that issue. And Epic Cash is improving their wallet to make sure it's fast and frictionless, because people expect that in this modern age. When they put their credit card down, they don't want to wait any time to purchase something, and it's pretty instant, I'm sure. I'm sure it's the same in Australia as it is in Canada, where people just flip out their plastic and it gets read by an RFID reader. And
well, a lot of people are using their phones now.
Yeah, I don't use Google or Apple Pay, but I know that's...
No, not me.
No, and your phone can be read by an RFID.
Oh, sorry. My bank, its credit card can be used off your phone.
Okay. Well, I still use a credit card to flash all these card readers. I'm sure it can.
Yeah.
I'm sure it can. Yeah. I'm no doubt. I don't know if Canada's set up that way, or Canadian banks. But the point is that Bitcoin is having a hard time doing transactions. And if you just look on Twitter, where I hang out quite a bit, that it seems like people are whining and complaining about this being a huge problem, which of course it is.
Yeah.
And they're saying, I think that's why they created a layer 2, which is a second less of a blockchain to facilitate faster transactions. And to me, it's a huge problem. If I just search for Bitcoin on Twitter, maybe I can find out what's going on. Obviously, people are posting.
So they're discovering that the emperor's not wearing any clothes by the sound of it.
Well, I think it's just more that doesn't seem like it can
be a unit of transaction. No?
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's funny, the people that are talking about Bitcoin, they never talk about the problems, it seems. They're always talking about how much you would have made if you invested in 2008.
Yeah.
And I don't quite know what the answer is, because I don't really spend too much time outside of Epic Cash. So someone's...
Very interesting.
Yeah, here it is. Why is everyone pushing this narrative that Bitcoin is congested or broken? Bitcoin is working as intended. It has a priority fee structure. If you want your transaction to go through faster, bump your fee. Facts matter. It's better to educate accurately than mislead people. Yeah, I don't really have a problem with the idea that if you want to have faster transactions, you should pay. But
what about the fact that you just want to pay someone? And what you're saying is, no, I just think that's crazy.
Yeah,
you should pay for faster transactions. That's nonsense. The whole idea of money is that if I need some butter, I go and buy some butter and I hand over the notes. Job done. If the electronic coin can't do that, then using it is a step backwards, not a step forwards.
Yeah.
So you're handing something over to the controllers to control your transactions, and it's also a disadvantage just in everyday life. There is no incentive, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from what you just said, as far as I'm concerned, Bitcoin is a dud.
Mm-hmm. Well, it had great promise, but I think it's been changed quite a bit. And I think that is what Epic Cash was supposed to address, because it's newer technology and they fixed a lot of the problems that Bitcoin refused to address. And I don't know if they can fix it at this point now without redoing it.
So for the powers that be that are listening to this conversation, and because I'm paranoid, I'm sure there's plenty of you, if you're going to make central bank digital currencies, at least use the Epic Cash format. You know, if you're going to burden us with a miserable token of exchange, at least don't make it like Bitcoin. That would just be
So as this guy said, he's describing it as a feature, not a bug. That's how he is addressing this congestion.
Okay. Well, in my mind, he is a fool. He is just a total fool.
Well, he's just a defender, I suppose, of the whole.
He's a defender of saying that when you want to actually use the thing, you have to pay more. That's what he's saying.
Yes.
It's not money then, is it?
No, it's sort of, is gold money? I guess gold is an investment.
It's extortion. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but no, gold and silver are easily transactable. If I agree to buy something from you for an ounce of silver, I can hand over the ounce of silver.
Okay.
It's a coin. It's a token that you can just hand over. You agree to swap that token. If the other person accepts it as value for the thing you're buying off them, it's just a simple exchange, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an instant transaction.
The thing I don't like about Bitcoin when just reading it on the social media is the people they're not talking about any of the issues. They just are pumping out the same old buy Bitcoin, but they don't explain it. They don't talk about the weaknesses. To me, the whole point of the software is to constantly improve it, make it better. But I just never see that. So that is one reason why I talk about Epic Cash. Because when I talk to Max, I don't know if he's still talking, the founder, he addresses all these problems. Where everyone else is just constantly saying, go buy it, you would have made this much. But to me, it's not good information.
Yeah. No, it's just a Ponzi scheme.
Hey, we got a caller in her.
Hold time.
Fantastic.
6 seconds.
Caller in, hello.
Hey, Tim. It's Randy, the Blue Water Kid.
Randy, hello, with the Ottawa phone number.
I got to confuse you. I got to keep you guessing.
All right. Randy, say hi to Frank.
Hi, Frank. I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you, Randy. It's very, how can I say it? I'm delighted to get a caller in. It's just like real radio, isn't it?
Yes, this is real radio. This is better than real radio.
I wanted to give you an update, Tim, on my Loblaws. I just got a email today. I got a settlement conference in July.
Okay, the president?
I sued them. I took them to small claims. I sued for $35,000, the limit in small claims for the mask.
Okay, go ahead, yeah. So you're going to settle out of court with Galen Weston?
No. In small claims, before you can request a trial, you have to you got to go through a settlement conference.
Is that to avoid court?
Well, yeah, to reduce the they're trying to get all these. Most litigation doesn't go to court.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what this is going to be, to avoid court.
Yeah.
If I can just interrupt.
Go ahead,
Tim. That's actually whenever you serve notices and so on people, the idea is that you give them an opportunity, three opportunities to
respond,
resolve the thing.
Yeah.
Before you end up in, the only reason you would go to court is if the parties cannot act as people, you know, as genuine.
Well, they wouldn't let you in the store without a mask on, so there was no negotiating, Frank. That was the problem.
But you've obviously made a claim on them as a result of that, and you're giving them an opportunity to resolve the claim.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. You don't automatically go to court after you've made a claim that they've infringed your, in fact, they've broken the law. It's almost certain they have totally broken the law.
Okay, so if they ignore your notice of liability, what do you do next?
Well, then you would need to go to one of the websites, but essentially after you've given them three times, they've established, if they ignore it, they've established that they agree to your claim, and then you can take out a lien for payment.
All right. Is there a small claims court in Australia?
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
What's the dollar limit?
I don't know that. I haven't used it myself.
Okay.
I'm sure it's very similar. Australia is just a warm version of Canada.
I think that's what you're saying, Tim, is true much more than people realize. I think the laws are so similar.
Yeah. You sound a little more advanced, Australia, with some sort of... it says in Australia it's up to 20,000.
How did you enforce your rights during the masking and the lockdown?
I never had to enforce my rights. When I went to the shops and they said you couldn't get in, I either just left or I went in anyway, and depending on you know how I felt on the day.
Okay, so when you went in, did they have you removed by the police?
No. There's nothing like that. No, that some people would get upset, and I would just look at them, you know, and what could they do, really?
Well, in Canada, they removed you from the store.
Yeah, you had the OPP come and take you out?
OPP, Strathroy Police, Canadian, a lot of police.
Strathroy has their own police force?
Yeah, they have their own force, yeah.
Five guys.
So there was a couple of videos on the Know Your Rights guys when this was happening in 2020, where these guys were being approached by police, and they would just talk to police through the law as it stood then, and they were demonstrating to people how to deal with that situation. So that's on the Know Your Rights BitChute site, Know Your Rights Group BitChute site. I had several examples of people holding their position.
Yeah.
And doing it when dealing with police. The police have been called to the store. So it's pretty interesting.
I want to ask Tim, what did you do in the town of Pickering? Did you wear the mask, or how did you deal with it?
I really don't go in the stores, so I didn't really.
Oh, you got somebody else to shop, or?
Well, my wife does all the shopping, to be honest with you. And I did go into a couple places, and I either maybe just faked my way in and just didn't wear it, or didn't really have a confrontation.
Yeah.
I had just the problem at work where I had the... the guy that ran the warehouse was the one that was arguing with
him. Oh, yeah, I remember that. You were saying about that. Yeah.
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 This guy I've known for a long time who just went nutty.
Yeah.
And in fairness, I never had anything like that because, you know, I've got my own setup here, and the fellow that I, that who is the co-owner with me, he and I shared our views about this. So we were fortunate. There was no conflict between he and I on this, which is some kind of miracle, really, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah, I guess I probably just wimped out and just avoided any confrontation. But it's not like I really went out. I don't shop much anyway right now, I just don't. So my wife had a couple confrontations here and there because she was an aunt.
I just want to add that, so one thing that did happen here in Victoria was that the Victorian government in the early stages of this thing, in the early, it must have been March, April 2020, they closed a housing commission, high-rise apartment, you know, for a sort of low socioeconomic group of people. They locked them in these towers. If you can imagine several 25-story housing units from the, you know, that were built in the 60s and looked like the worst excesses Soviet style.
And the other thing that I did was during this so-called pandemic, we had a census, Frank. They did a census.
Yeah.
Okay. And in Canada, if you don't complete the census, you can go to jail. They can fine you or
that's always put you in jail. That threat is everywhere. Has anyone gone to jail for the census?
Again, you'll find if you're interested in learning how to deal with those things.
No, I dealt with it. I didn't complete it. I read the act. And I just declined being a resident. Okay, I declined saying I'm not a resident and I'm not a citizen. Yeah. And they left me alone. The supervisor came and I told her my spiel and they left me alone. So
that's good.
Anyway, getting back to the high rise thing, what's just happened is that they launched the residents launched the class action. The ombudsman declared that the locking up was illegal, broke the law, and they have been offered collectively $5 million. So it's $1,666 each.
Oh, there you go. 666, huh?
What's your take on that Avi Yemeni for Rebel News there with Dan Andrews with the legal battle?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I think he points people down the wrong path.
Well, he's been ordered to pay Dan Andrews costs. Are you aware of that case?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I sort of decided early on that he was, you know, almost like an...
He's an antagonist,
I didn't find any of the stuff he said helpful at all, to be truthful.
Randy, did you join our Telegram group and get your Epic Cash wallet?
No, I kind of like cash, so...
Okay. Well, this is Epic Cash, so it's epic.
Yeah.
But check it out, man, if you want to.
Yeah. I wanted to ask... Tim, about the border again, I did some research and U.S. citizens, they got to let you in. Okay, they can't.
I know that, but he knew I was a U.S. citizen, but it didn't matter because everyone else was not.
But when he asked you your citizenship, did you say...
No, he didn't ask because I used Nexus to get in, so he's got my whole dossier on his computer before I even hit the window. Probably got my website up too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but
I don't either. I'd love to see the screen, but
I think they treat U.S. citizens better than if you say you're Canadian.
Well, believe me, I've tried different things over the years, and it leads to 1,000 questions that I just want to get over.
I wanted to ask Frank that question I asked you last time when they when the border agents asked him, are you vaccinated, eh? And I was kind of arguing, truthfully, you could say yes, because he didn't really specify.
I'm with you.
No, I know. I screwed up. I admit it. I probably ruined the whole vacation just by stuttering and stalling. So,
I think you were caught off guard, in fairness, Tim.
I was surprised. It's intimidating.
It's very intimidating and stressful.
Well,
but apart from that, you weren't expecting there to be an issue, were you?
No, I really wasn't. I actually was. I wouldn't have wasted my time because it's a long way to go.
Yeah.
I was kind of put off, caught off guard because. For years,
and they told everyone that the thing was over.
No, it wasn't so much that. It was just that I was hearing more stories about people getting over or not asked at all. And that was for years. It wasn't like it just started. But when Biden said the Biden administration said the emergency was over April 11th, I figure, okay, well, what else is there to say? Apparently, there was a few more things to say after that. So.
Well, let me just on this same thing, let me tell you another very strange thing that's happening in Victoria is that on August the 13th, all of the records that employers have been keeping on vaccination status have to be destroyed.
Oh, that's cool. That's interesting.
And what that means is, of course, if you then intend to sue them, there will be no records.
Jacques Waugh in the FakeoTube chat said, I just said I was exempt. If the door person didn't agree, the manager always would. Okay, that's pretty good.
Yep, and that's another thing.
Exemptions in the bylaw. Each of these bylaws, there was exemptions and you didn't have to prove it. You just had to claim it.
But the problem was
you got uninformed store clerks. And then they wouldn't let you in, or they wouldn't serve you.
A lot of them were sort of under this instruction that there are no exemptions, even though it said it on their doors in the small print. They were just told no exemptions. Don't let anyone in because everyone is freaked out that believes in this thing. So there were lots of people taking liberties with the letter of the mandate, and it's not a law either. So it's
And a lot of people just didn't care what the law was. They were, as you said, freaked out. I met people that were just terrified. Even now,
yes.
I see men and women driving in their own car.
I saw it by tonight. Themselves. I saw it tonight. I keep saying it. It seems redundant to keep saying it, but I saw it tonight. Guys with his window open of Asian descent wearing a mask up to his eyeballs. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. How's your new car, Tim? Did you stick with a gasoline engine?
No. I'm a hybrid person. I think hybrids are very sensible. I'm a hybrid. I'm a plug-in hybrid person.
You've got me on another one. Hydrogen cars are being used in Japan.
No.
Internal combustion engines with hydrogen in them.
Okay.
And they've got them in roaming the streets of Tokyo now, but the Australian government refused Toyota's application to bring them into Australia.
Well, the what's-her-name head of the EU is big on hydrogen, as she calls it, hydrogen. So, yeah, I don't even know a lot about hydrogen cars.
They're just an internal combustion engine that burns hydrogen instead of petrol.
Right. And what are the byproducts?
Water?
Okay.
Yep.
But again, we need a hydrogen fuel network to supply that. That's always the big challenge. Couldn't even do it with propane really here. That whole thing.
Well, I'm gonna say goodnight, guys.
Thanks for the update. Let us know how it goes.
I'll let you know. I'm a big fan of Frank.
Who isn't?
I like his cool levelness and his interest in the law.
All right, well, thanks for calling. Thanks for keeping us up to date. I'll make another run for the border soon because today's the big day. Today's the big day when it's supposed to be open.
Okay, give us a video.
Yeah, I will. All right, take care. Thanks, Randy.
Okay.
Bye-bye. There goes Randy.
Are you really going to make a run for the border, are you? It's fantastic.
I'm going to make another trip. I have to. I haven't had a trip anywhere in three and a bit years. 3.5 years. I'm going buggy. Got to do something different. Break up the monotony. By the way, I know Ken called a few times today. My phone didn't ring, Ken, if you're listening to the show. And Ken is down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Great guy. And believe it or not, Ken, I still haven't put together your father's audio phone call that we did last November about Bikini Atoll atomic tests. We had about 6 different interrupted phone calls, so I have to paste them all together. But I'm going to do that. It's still in the back of my brain, but I find too many other things to sidetrack. So, Ken, I will do that for sure, because your dad was nice enough to talk to me about that. And by the way, he didn't really witness anything out of the ordinary at Bikini Atoll back in those atomic testing days.
Right, to get that discussion.
Yeah. Now, go ahead, Frank.
A friend of mine's father was involved in what was called the Maralinga test in South Australia.
Same idea.
He was part of a group of soldiers that were making claims against the government for the radiation damage they received and how it had shortened their life. He died at the age of 97.
No, it doesn't work. That doesn't square.
And he was meeting with a whole, you know, of the whatever it was, the battalion of, say, 100 people.
Yeah.
Like 15 of them were in their 90s still. So they've already, as a group, well and truly outlived the general population. So it was a source of regular amusement to me, I must say.
Amazing.
That eventually his son understood why I was starting to laugh about it.
Frank, I have a new word for you.
Uh-huh.
It is, let me bring up this PDF if it will come up on the screen. Oh, good, it does. The word that I want to give you is Raid Hay Nights. Raid Hay Nights. Have you ever heard of Raid Hay Nights?
No.
Me neither.
I'd probably call it Radonites if I saw it.
Well, I looked it up and they said it's both A's are long. So if both A's are long, you're supposed to pronounce it Raid Hay Nights. The Raid Hay Night Merchant...
A religious group?
Well, the Raid Hay Night Merchant Bankers were forced to flee Babylon, renamed Baghdad, ahead of the armies of the Muslim Seljuk Turks in 1055 AD, just 11 years earlier. So they fanned out along their extensive network of merchant banking centers. In the process, they rebranded themselves as Ashkenazi Jews.
They had I've heard the story. I have heard it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard it.
But go on. Yeah.
They had called themselves Jews for millennia while in Babylon, but they had created their unique pagan version that followed the Talmud, Yiddish, and rabbis rather than the Torah, Hebrew, and prophets.
Yeah.
So that does sort of square with what we're... The Ashkenaz...
It squares with the Bible as well. Those that say they're Jews but are not.
The Ashkenazi adjective was an 11th century fabricated moniker with no credible basis. They had also fabricated a new trading language, Yiddish. With this newly minted identity, these Raid Hay Nights continued to press usury, debt slavery, fiat currency, and human trafficking. Secretly, they worship Babylon's demigods or demon gods of the seven deadly sins, most notably Mammon. The love of money through usury, which the prophets railed against. Hmm. So this is pretty interesting. I've never heard of it. And thanks to Scott the Highway Guy from Twitter, I grabbed this video. And this just, it shows you, Frank, you can't stop learning. There's always someone else doing research.
I guess you've got to that point, but you recognize that it's not the Jews or the Jesuits, but something controlling them, isn't it?
Yeah, or something that is not being accurately described. And here's a new word. And it's quite interesting. And these two guys describe it. I'll play.
Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. I'm Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Doug.
Wow. Your last article left a blazing trail through the sky like a lightning bolt. 7.4 million downloads of the PDF. In other words, It seems as if the accumulative work that you, and of course, I take some claim for it because I talk with you as you're doing the work and talk with your miners, the work that we have been doing has paid off to the point that this seems to be the icing on the cake. And so I've gone back and reviewed what was so amazing about that article. Now, previously, you've gotten millions of hits on articles that you have written with the writers at Americans for Innovation and, of course, channeled through Aim for Truth. But what was special about this? What was it that got people so excited that they made PDF copies of it? Not just hits. We're talking about people who had to have a copy of this. Now, when you first showed this to me, the great work of the staff writers and your miners and all this, I said, this is magnificent. This needs to be made into a book. Remember, I said, this has to be a book. This is the best thing. It's like the absolutely the penultimate expression of everything that has been researched now for a couple of years. But today we're going to try to analyze exactly what it was, what was the approach, what was the view, what was the perspective that caused so many people to get so excited about this. And as we know, every time that you go out on the internet now, you're finding people talking about the Babylonian Radonites. Well, in your recent article, you pointed out that the Radonites are literally the people who controlled all of England, these Radonites or Ruddites. And then it seems that it also connected to basically mercantile banking, the Mercers of the City of London, the entire banking system created by the...
Anyway, there's 2 minutes of that video. I put it on FakoTube, of course. So there's two new guys to take a look, and they kind of sort of tie everything together.
Yeah.
Well, here's the PDF here. It's a good read, lots of stuff in it, and a lot of stuff I've never heard of.
Now, I'm going to suggest to you that it's very similar, if not exactly the same, as the Swedish fellow that came, Jan Erik, where he's explaining.
Yeah. Yes.
These are the Phoenicians that became the Venetians that became
the court
Dutch,
Jews.
That end up as William of Orange coming into England.
Yes. Yeah, I
and
agree
setting
with
up
you.
And setting up of the bank. It's really the same story as far as I can work out.
I think you're right. But he never said the word Radonites or however you say it.
He may not have, but I think I'd be surprised if he was unaware of that.
Yeah, I'm sure he was, yeah.
I've only heard the Radonite term recently, but again, I just basically, in my mind, just slotted it in to the same people that were the Phoenicians, the sea traders, with their banking that end up as Venetians after they were driven out of Babylon. They went on the road. They went to sea, ended up as Venetians, then to Amsterdam, then to the UK. And they've probably gone to China now.
Hello, fellow students of Jewish history. As I prepare to visit the Rhone River Valley again with Kosher Riverboat Cruises, this is such a beautiful cruise. It's incredibly gorgeous, you know, scenery. The
amazing
rolling
how
hills,
the clear the videos
the
are these days.
The
cameras are so good.
Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
I'd like to speak for a minute today about one of the most fascinating and little understood aspects of the commercial life of Jews in the Rhone River, and that is this interesting group known as the Radonites. Now, we don't know very much about them, but they are...
By design, I would say. They definitely... and these guys are arguing that the whole history is totally obscured and faked. That's why
and
I put on fakeologists.
And other people would say they're covered up in resets.
Hmm. They've done a darn good job hiding themselves, though.
Oh, fantastic.
It's really interesting. I haven't read this whole PDF. It's pretty big, and it's pretty interesting. I guess they put it in PDF, so you couldn't really alter it, but it's on Blogspot, so I guess Google doesn't mind that it's over there. Yeah. AmericansForInnovation.blogspot.com. So this is something you just put up last month. Very interesting.
And this is why I'm suspicious. I personally am suspicious of all banking and currencies, you know, even, you know, bitcoins, all of that stuff.
Right.
Who's in charge of it? How is the mechanism controlled? And, you know, that was the, I guess, if you like, the discussion I had with the founder of Epic, saying, yeah, okay, that's all very well, but how is the money created? Who's in charge of it? How is that decided? Because it's the control of money which governs all aspects of our lives, really. And so, you know, no one is able to function without a monetary system. And it's not the monetary system that's evil. Mm-hmm. It's the love of the monetary system which is evil.
Right.
And the guys that have control of it really just end up being able to just effectively create their own wealth out of nothing. They don't trade for it. They don't work for it. They have control of the money itself. And that's really the problem with, if you like, what I call the modern nation state, is that on paper, the USA, Canada, Australia, the governments should have control and responsibility for the management of their money, and the people that you elect should be, you know, engaged in that and making sure that the money supply matches the needs of the people, and the people should be participating in the flow, the circulation of the money, the creation and destruction of it, you know, to suit the purposes of making people's lives better. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. It's completely the reverse of that.
I found the website. It's also a blog as well. And are there any blog comments? I don't see any comments. There were comments before, but now there are none. Okay, so I'll put a link to that. Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Great. Just look forward to reading it.
Yeah, thanks for anyone who sends tips.
And thank you for curating it, Tim.
I'm happy to. Greg Schatz just put a post. We'll take a look at this one. State of the Nation, the Fake Jews and Jubilee of 2023. That's another one. The Babylonian Radonites, Canaanites, Khazarians, and Ashkenazi Jews explained. So this is...
Well, that's... If you go back again, you and I have talked about them as being Canaanites. That's mm-hmm. essentially the biblical story, yeah.
The American Republic is only the latest victim of this Khazarian plot to rule the whole world. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I guess they got every other nation. The Year of the Jubilee. Yeah, lots to read.
Hmm.
Ashkenazi means Babylonian, Turkic, Khazarian, Radonite, fake Jew, we believe. Well, obviously other people are, this is starting to spread. I wonder if it's spreading by design. Do we have to be suspicious of that? But I'll put that link as show note number 6.
I often think that, you know, once it gets revealed, that's when they pulled the whole thing down, isn't it?
Mm.
It's already pulled down. It's you know, the our electrical system it's not going to recover now from the damage that's been done. They shut one of the last coal-fired power stations down.
Yeah, I know. We've already had all ours. We're still going. We have waterfalls, though, here. But
yeah, they better blow them up. Obviously, they are way too useful.
Yeah, I'm not as because ours have been shut down for years now. Even the big one we talked about, Nanticoke, here on Lake Erie, and we're still going. So I'm not as down.
Yes,
on
but
it.
You're not able now to manufacture anything. If you try to restart a manufacturing industry in Canada, the same as in Australia, the reason they've been able to blow all these power stations up is because
they didn't need that power, industrial power.
They've deindustrialized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there are many reasons behind that too. But can they just bring it back overnight anyway? Even if they could, I don't know if they would.
No.
Because the whole West has changed. You know, there's just, the West is already in collapse mode. It's not like there are bodies to do these jobs. They have to bring people over or ship them over to cheaper places to do stuff.
But they're not just bodies, are they? They are. You know, you need a technical community training system that's people have been raised and educated in the skills required. It's built up over a long period of time. People that have come out with degrees in media studies simply are not going to be able to do the stuff.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm doing all my own maintenance simply because we just can't get people to do it.
Yeah, and at your advanced age, who is going to take over?
I'm not a baby.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have a plan. You want the business to carry on, the corporation to carry on. Yeah, I agree. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem here. So I guess the idea was, now that they've got the mother out of women, that the populations are slowly imploding in the Western world by design.
Mm.
And does anyone have what they want? Do women have what they want? Do men have what they want? I would say absolutely not. But they'll be replaced with mass immigration and automation.
But the immigrants that come here are just walking into a wall of pain, aren't they?
Mm. Well, yeah, that's true.
Let me tell you about another, just while we're on that topic. So my father-in-law was a very senior academic, and he was a powerhouse in the metallurgical world. He was in fact the director of, or the chief inspector of welding in this state. And there is a forum named after his name for all the metallurgists that are, and material scientists that are studying in Victoria, where the students come and give talks. And one of the talks, several years ago now, was the discussion afterwards was from students that had come to Australia from overseas, supposedly thinking they're coming to an advanced first world country, to discover that the work and prospects here for their skills were tiny, that that there's no way that you could describe the industry that's going on in Australia as first world, and they were all heading back to their own countries, totally disillusioned about the idea why they'd come to Australia for what so-called advanced training.
Yeah, it was a hoax.
It was a hoax. And yeah, these students were just bamboozled by what had happened. They had such a strong vision of Australia as this hugely advanced technology where, it was a vision from 1962.
Yeah. I think the same thing here. When they sign up for Canadian education, they find out it's a hoax. They're really learning nonsense.
Yeah, it's just a trap for those people that come here.
Well, it's just a business.
It's just
the university business where they churn out people with useless degrees. But the only thing it gives them is access to the country, because a lot of them switch over to residence. That's a backdoor into the country for sure. So it's by design the way they've done that, at least here.
Yeah. But again, like I would argue that what those people have given up,
mm-hmm.
for if you like comfort, it's really just going to enslave them here, and they're going to be trapped in a system of control and poor laws and lockdowns and so on that are going to continue on, I think. And will they have the skills? They won't have the understanding of how the legal system works. They will be rabbits in the headlights.
Yeah, better slaves.
Yeah.
Okay. What do I have? The Discord is still up, fake11.com/Discord. And I was just reading here what... Wild Times had to say. Okay, so we also have the Telegram, fake11.com/Telegram. If you want to get in touch with Frank at fakeologist.com, Frank, did you get any emails?
Not this week.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I take that. Well, no, not through the Fakeologist email, but obviously I got contacted by Emily of Cottage Remedies this week. So that was, I enjoyed that.
Discord says you can have your own username instead of a similar username with a number after it. So that's a Discord update. That's Telegram already does that. A unique username. I'm a Fakeologist on Telegram. Someone took Fakeologist over there. So I'm a Fakeologist over at Telegram.
And I don't even know what my label is on Telegram. Can you see when I post something?
Yes, you are Frank. But okay. What is your username? I do not know. You have to go into your, let's see, I'll add you to my contacts. I don't know what your username is on there right at the moment, because obviously it can't be Frank. There's 2 million Franks on there.
Is there really?
There has to be. I'm just looking. I don't know. Maybe you didn't even set a username. I'm not certain. I'm just looking now. I can't quite tell if you have a username, actually.
Okay. But that's probably why I can't work it out either.
Well, I can't see anyone's username. I'm just looking around. Napoleon Wilson. I don't know what his username is either. I can't see any username.
Isn't Napoleon Wilson his username?
Well, that's his display name, but the username is the unique identifier. So if you click on the three hamburgers in your Telegram, it'll show your username somewhere. Maybe it's under settings. It'll show your display name, your phone number, and your username. So I don't know if I want to say hi to Frank. Frank. Yeah, it doesn't bring up your username.
Okay.
But I can see, like, I just clicked your name, but it doesn't show your name. It brings up your display name as, but I can't see what your username. So you're going to have to find that yourself, I think.
Okay.
Because if you want people to find you, they can't find you by Frank. They'd have to have your actual username.
Okay. So
it's probably Frank plus a number, I'm guessing. Can you look now just for fun? Now I'm curious.
Okay, so how do I do that? I press on the three dots?
Well, the three lines, the three horizontal lines above the folders, not the three dots. So, and don't forget fakelemon.com/telegram to join our three Telegram groups.
Settings?
Yeah.
No username, none.
Oh, so you don't have one. You might have to make one if you want to be found. So right now, probably nobody can find you.
Okay.
So I guess you don't need to have one to set up.
I can just put one in. Let me see if I do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if I put in 1 ounce of salt a day.
Yeah, that would be a good way to find you. All right. So what happens is, let me see if I can get Fakeologist.
Okay, so I've gotten that now. So let me see if 1 ounce of salt per day pops up.
Yeah, because otherwise people can only find you by your phone number.
Right.
So if you said it.
Go into the live stream chat and type boy again.
Okay, so now you have a username. Now I can see it. So before, it just showed your display name?
Yeah.
Okay, so that worked.
Okay, groovy.
So now you have... So if you want to find Frank on Telegram, it's 1 ounce of salt per day. So before, you could not be found unless they had your phone number in their contact list. That's how that worked. So you just made yourself findable on Telegram. That to me, that means that Napoleon doesn't have a username. Doesn't look like Molly does.
Isn't Molly her username though? I don't quite understand.
No, that's her display name. So it seems to me that most people don't have a username, as far as I can tell, but I'm not sure. Let me click on you again. Well, Frank. Yeah, so now I can see if I click on your name, it shows your username. Didn't have that before. Okay. So everyone else here, if you click on their name and you don't see a username, then they don't have one. So here's Evie. Okay, so Evie has a username. It's esoteric_veritas. So there's a few people on here with usernames. I know this is boring radio, but so everyone else can't be found. See, Purple Play has a username. It's Purple Play TEL. So a few people have it.
Presumably, you can have the same username as your...
Well, you could make up any display name, but you can only have a unique username. Your username must clearly has to be unique to Telegram, and Discord's going to do the same thing, because right now you can't find people on Discord either at all. It's impossible to find someone on Discord because they don't have unique usernames. Well, they have names plus numbers. And nobody knows their numbers usually.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. All right. Well, good show tonight, Frank. We've done some tech talk. We've talked about some crypto. I do want to point out before I go, because I should talk some Fakeology. Some of the best stuff, I don't think you follow IPS, but two really good podcasts from IPS, Why Fakeability Matters, Fakedemic. He does more Fakeology than I do because I'm a little more all over the place. But these are really good podcasts when he talks about auto hoaxology, why fakeability, because now we're getting into the revelation that there are fake events that are authorized to be called fake events, but they don't get to the point that these are hoaxes and the old nobody dies, nobody gets hurt.
So are there real fakes and fake reels? And
yeah, he talks about fakes. So it's called, you do need terminology for all this. He does a really good job. And sure. I know you're not a fan of his voice, but he does a good job.
There are no knowns and unknown knowns, yep.
Well, we're just getting more layers of complication to confuse people, because we do know now that more and more people are catching on to the fakery, more people than ever with COVID. And
oh yeah, it's really it's very everything's being revealed, isn't it? It's all, like I say often, mm-hmm. all the time, really, it's all playing out to the biblical script as far as I can see.
Mm-hmm. But what are the people going to do with all this information right now? They don't seem to be doing much with it. No real changes are being made, which is even worse. And I like, I haven't really listened too much to Bill Cooper lately, but one of the things he said in many of his shows is somebody who has knowledge but doesn't use it is just as dumb as an animal that just doesn't have the knowledge. Something like that.
Yeah.
You're just a piece of meat. I can't remember the words he uses, but he said it often enough. I should clip it because he says it over and over again.
Well, I guess the biblical way of saying that is, don't hide your light under a bushel. You know, if you've got gifts and talents, you should be sharing them. Fulfilling your creative purpose.
Yes. You're as dumb as I wish I could remember it. I'm just doing a quick search on pre-search to see if anyone transcribed it. It's something about if you have knowledge but don't use it, you're no better than a piece of meat for them to eat, something like that. If anyone can remember it, I know a lot of fans. There are a lot of fans of fakeologists that listen to Bill Cooper. So if you guys can remember what that quote was, I could just start playing any one of his audios and probably find it. But he is very repetitive in his audios, which is fine. Psychic driving, trying to get the message into people's head, into people's heads.
Well, but I've been saying the same thing about salt, you know, 25,000, you know, when you look backwards, or when you, you know, review the audios I've been on, I really just talk about salt all the time. So I'm sure he produced those videos over a long period of time. So when you say he's repetitive, it's...
Yeah, when you do a show every day, he was doing a show every day for a long time. You are very repetitive, but it is interesting that he was big on talking about the Babylonian mystery school. So I don't think he said Radonites, but he was onto it from his own angle. There's a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
So he did. Nothing we say is new. This is all, we're just recycling it in another way. So he did his part in the 90s and we're doing ours in the 2020s. Trying to tie it all together in this, using this nifty technology, FakoTube, Fakeologist, these weekly shows with Frank the Salt Guy, an ounce of salt. How to take care of your penis.com. You got to register an ounce of salt per day.com, I think.
Okay.
I think you should grab that.
Probably a good idea.
Because I always say it mistakenly, but I think you're more well known for that, aren't you? An ounce of salt per day?
Probably, yes.
All right, well,
thank you, Rim, and thanks, everybody.
Well, thank
you. Appreciate the call ins. That was great.
Yeah, we had a good call in. Thanks, Randy. And, there'll be audio chats on the weekend. We use fake11.com/discord if you want to join in randomly. We had an interesting character last Saturday, didn't we? What was his name? Flaming Shorts?
Yeah.
I can't even remember what he was talking about.
He was talking about the idea that babies that are female... XX that get fed male hormones will end up as male skeletons with female bodies and so on.
Oh, okay.
Female flesh.
Yeah, but he was saying everyone was had them in his family. I don't know if people bought into that.
Well, it's actually the same message that Hans Wormhat was saying as well.
Oh, right. You think that's disinfo?
It's difficult to know.
It's almost like it's mocking the concept that everyone is inverted. I don't buy into that. So it may be mocking it.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining, Frank. Thanks for showing up. And have a good week. And we'll probably see you on the weekend on the Discord.
Right back at you.
All right, take care. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, everybody. And don't forget, we're user-supported. If you like this show and want to support it, fakeologist.com/donate. And thanks to all the monthly donors who just set it and forget it. We really appreciate you guys. And thanks for the one-up donors. And we take donations in... credit card, Epic Cash, Bitcoin Lightning. And thanks everyone for joining again. We will see you next time. Have a good night. Goodbye.